Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Wednesday class, August 2nd, 2023, 2 Corinthians.
Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's word. And therefore, open the word of God to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians 4. And in preparation to worship our Lord, a few moments of silent prayer, shall we? Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. The very fact that we are even here this evening is a demonstration of who and what you are. And we thank you, sir, that you have magnified your word over all of your name. And therefore, the word of God is more important than the very air that we breathe. And as we assemble this evening to fellowship in the Word, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. 2 Corinthians 4, well, 2 Corinthians is the greatest epistle that covers the subject of suffering, and especially suffering for blessing. There are two categories of suffering, suffering for discipline and punitive suffering, and suffering for blessing. But much of the epistle of 2 Corinthians deals with that special category of greater grace blessing for the spiritually adult believer, and that is suffering for blessing. And the Apostle Paul went through that and describes his own greater grace blessing of suffering for blessing, as well as Timothy and Titus and Silvanus. And in the process, we get to see the grace and power of God meet all of those tests in their lives. And from that, we learn God's problem-solving devices. We get them out on the flat line of our soul as we grow up in the grace and knowledge of Christ. We think divine viewpoint, and we have the precisely correct procedure to get over the hurdle, because suffering for blessing is the privilege of running spiritual hurdles. And so we have that again in 2 Corinthians 4 in the passage we're in. 2 Corinthians 4, starting at verse 7. Now we possess this treasure in earthen vessels. Why? Why earthen vessels? For the purpose that the surpassing greatness of the power may be from the source of God, and not from the source of us. And then the Apostle Paul describes some of these many different categories of suffering for blessing that he, Timothy, Titus, and Silvanus have gone through. He says we, not just Paul, but all the members of his team as well. We are afflicted oppressed in every way. That's phlebo. But we absolutely are not crushed, denokoreo. We have great inner pressures in our soul, apareo. But we are not totally despairing, ex apareo. We are persecuted, dioko. But we absolutely are not abandoned, deserted, forsaken, enkatalepo. We are struck down, kataballo, but not destroyed, apolumi. Verse 10, we always carry about in our body the putting to death of Jesus, that is, suffering for blessing of the winner believer. For the purpose that the life of Jesus indeed might be revealed and manifested in our body. Verse 11. For instance, we who are living the spiritual life by the spiritual skills, the winner believers, are constantly being delivered over to the danger of death, suffering for blessing. For Jesus' sake. For the purpose that the life of Jesus indeed may be manifested in our mortal flesh. So then, verse 12, death, the dangers of death and suffering for blessing, works in us, Paul, Timothy, Titus, Silvanus, but life, the unique spiritual life of the church age in you, but by means of having the same spirit of faith, the faith rest as a problem-solving device, according to what is written in Psalm 116, verse 10, I believe, that was David's faith rest life. That was spirituality in the Old Testament, faith rest. Therefore, I communicated the absolute truth of Bible doctrine. We also believe, Paul and his team, faith, rest, life, and living the spiritual life in the church age. And therefore, we also communicate the absolute truth of Bible doctrine. Verse 14, knowing that the one who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus and will present us together with you. You Corinthian. Now, suffering for blessing is not, this great mantle is not given to you until you reach spiritual adulthood. And when you reach spiritual adulthood and God is free to give you this mantle of suffering for blessing, that's not a guarantee you're going to clear the hurdles with precisely correct procedure. And from time to time, you may hit the hurdle. Suffering for blessing always has the potential of hitting the hurdle. How do you do that? Well, you get your eyes on the problem. You get your eyes on the suffering. Of course, when you do that, that is arrogance and preoccupation with self. And arrogance and preoccupation with self always concentrates on the problem. But thinking God's problem-solving devices, thinking divine viewpoint, such as the faith rest life, that concentrates on the solution. Now, you do not solve problems with the problem. Believers occupied with a problem inevitably end up trying to solve a problem with the problem. Believers who develop and utilize God's problem-solving devices, get them out on the flat line of the soul, end up solving the problem. Thinking divine viewpoint. You solve problems with God's solution, His problem-solving devices, by His grace and by His power. Divine solutions are the only solution. Human solutions are never a solution at all. The decisions we make today to determine our future tomorrow. and making decisions based on self-centeredness or arrogance or occupy with the problem always results in failure. God goes to war with the arrogant believer living in Satan's cosmic system, but he gives grace to the humble living the unique spiritual life by the spiritual skills. Arrogant believers, well, they have to be humbled by God. However, humble believers, they will be blessed by God. The grace and the power of God is infinitely greater than any of our problems. Paul could speak of his suffering and death because he had maximum confidence in God and his word, that he would deliver him either from the suffering or through dying grace and then the resurrection. And that's 2 Corinthians 1, 9 and 10, where he says, indeed, we had the sentence of death in our heart. This was a totally helpless situation. For the purpose that we absolutely should not trust in ourselves, but we absolutely should put our trust and confidence in God, the one who raises the dead, who, God, delivered us out from so great a danger of death and will deliver us, dying grace, and in whom we have confident expectation that he, God, will deliver us again in the future through the resurrection. The great doctrine of the resurrection. This confidence was founded on the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul totally metabolized and had in his heart the doctrine of the resurrection. And Jesus Christ is the first fruit and the guarantee of resurrection for all who place their faith for salvation in him. And that brought us to a study of what the Bible has to say about this great, great doctrine of the resurrection. We studied point one, definition and description, and got through just the beginning of point two. Under definition and description, we noted that there are two returns from the dead. There is resuscitation and there is resurrection. Resuscitation means a person returns from the dead in a body of corruption, and therefore he eventually dies again. We saw the examples of Lazarus in John 11:32-44, and the Apostle Paul, Acts 14:19-20, 2 Corinthians 12:2-4. And then there is resurrection. And resurrection means a person returned from the dead in a body of incorruption, and he never dies again. And therefore, resurrection is rising again from the dead in a resurrection body and never again being subject to death. Anyone who dies during the church age has an interim body in heaven until the resurrection, and that at the rapture. 2 Corinthians 5:8, we're going to be seeing that when we get to the next chapter of 2 Corinthians, the interim body that the church age believer, when you die, if you die before the rapture, it's absent from the body and what? Face to face with the Lord Jesus Christ. And that face to face means you have an interim body waiting for the rapture. When the rapture occurs, the dead in Christ rise first. They receive their resurrection body first. And then the rapture generation, the one that is living at the time of the rapture, they are one group of people that will never go through physical death. They will be living, and then in the splitting of an atom, twinkling of an eye, their physical body will be turned into a resurrection body. God is the greatest transformer of all time. And so he transforms us in our physical body to our resurrection body. We will have a resurrection body like Christ's resurrection body. But not all resurrection bodies will look alike. There are different types of resurrection bodies depending on your success or failure in living the spiritual life. Resurrection bodies have a uniform, and there will be winner believers that will have the brightest, most magnificent uniform that they will have on their resurrection body. And there are loser believers. They will have a resurrection body, but their uniform will have very little light. That's the loser believer, and everything in between. So it's, you're going to see uniforms from the very brightest uniform of light on the resurrection body to the winner believers, and then all the way down to very little light of a uniform on the resurrection body. So there are different types of resurrection bodies depending on your success or failure in living the spiritual life. That brought us to point two, the sovereignty of God and physical death. We've studied the first four subpoints under point two. One, we noted that while the believer has control over his life as to whether he makes good decisions to live the spiritual life or bad decisions to live in Satan's cosmic system, the believer has no control over the manner or time of his physical death. Two, the death of the believer is always a matter of the wisdom, integrity, and sovereignty of God. And how great is that? When you know, you should know who and what God is, the essence of God, the attributes of God. You have personal love for God because you know who and what He is. You have occupation with Jesus Christ because you know the essence of God, the grace of God. And therefore, you just know it's going to be absolutely the best of the best. So you relax. You don't worry about it. You don't spend your time concerned about how you're going to die or when you're going to die or anything like that. So the death of the believer is always a matter of the wisdom, the integrity, the righteousness, the justice, the sovereignty of God. Three, apart from being alive and being in the rapture generation, all believers will experience physical death. But there is going to be that rapture generation, and we might be it. We very easily could be that rapture generation. But if we're not, then every church-age saint will go through physical death, experience it. Point four, the manner of our physical death is a matter of divine wisdom and God's omniscience. The death of the believer is always God's victory. It makes no difference if you're a winner believer or a loser believer or anything in between. All believers in Jesus Christ go to heaven. Everyone. You cannot lose your salvation. Every believer in Jesus Christ will be a part of the first resurrection and have a resurrection body and live with God forever and ever. Distinction among believers is not made until the judgment seat of Christ. That's the evaluation of church-age saints or the royal family of God. Subpoint five. Therefore, the death of the believer is always God's victory. You're a part of God's victory. The believer's death means he is absent from the body and face to face with the Lord in a place of no more sorrow, no more tears, no more pain, no more death, and the Lord's timing is absolutely perfect. Neither too soon and never too late. God's timing is absolutely perfect. Death always comes at the exact right time. Subpoint six. Winner believers, spiritually mature believers, can die in one of two ways. Winner believers, spiritually mature believers, can die in one of two ways. I want you to make sure you get point 6 and point 7 here. Painlessly and quickly. Painlessly and quickly, or painfully and prolonged. That's winner believers. Spiritually mature believers can die in one of two ways. Painlessly and quickly. Painfully and prolonged. Point 7. Loser believers can die in one of two ways. You know what they are? Painlessly and quickly. Painfully and prolonged. You say that's the same. Yeah. That's right. You cannot look at a fellow believer who is dying and judge them in any way by the kind of death that they are going through. Look at Peter. Peter was crucified upside down. Upside down. Now, what kind of a death was that? Painfully and prolonged. Was Peter a loser believer? No. Peter was a great winner believer. Now, the Apostle Paul, painlessly and quickly, the lictor's axe came down, his head came off, and he took off to heaven. Paul was a winner believer. You can't look at how a believer dies and judge them. You're always wrong. Where in the Bible does it ever say that you judge a fellow believer? Whether by the way he lives? That's wrong. That's totally wrong. Or when he's dying. That's totally wrong too. Judging is always wrong. It's the worst of all sins. So you can't look at people in the way they die. Winner believers can die painlessly and quickly, or painfully and prolonged. Loser believers can die painfully and quickly, or painfully and prolonged. Subpoint 8. God chooses both the manner and the time of death. God. Now, for you, I expect you to, most of you, to have virtue love brought to completion in your heart. That's the ultimate objective of the spiritual life, to have virtue love brought to completion in your heart. I expect most of you, if not all of you, to have personal love for God the Father and occupation with Jesus Christ. And the other side of the coin of occupation with Christ is sharing the happiness of God. And that is sharing the happiness of God when you're living, sharing the happiness of God when you're dying. That is occupation with Christ when you're living, that's occupation with Christ when you're dying. That's personal love for God the Father when you're living. That's personal love for God the Father when you're dying. And you relax. We all have a living phase and a dying phase. And the dying phase can be something prolonged, or it can be something very quick. But no matter what it is, I expect you to glorify God in your living and glorify God in your dying. God chooses both the manner and the time of death. Sometimes God will allow a spiritually mature believer to die in a painful and lengthy way to demonstrate the power and the grace provision of God, so that others can see the grace and power of God in operation. and for that believer in spiritual adulthood. And also, a loser believer can die the sin unto death by dying in his sleep quickly and painlessly. Therefore, get this down, point nine. You cannot judge other believers by the manner of their death. You cannot judge other believers by the manner of their death. Just as you are mandated not to judge other believers in living. The worst of all verbal sins is judging, slandering, maligning others. Unfortunately, many believers, they get involved in judging, slandering, maligning other believers. When you do that, you are placing yourself under maximum divine discipline. That is total arrogance. That is living in the cosmic system. There is absolutely no impersonal love for all. You have no virtue love. You have no spiritual life. You have no... You have no motivational virtue from personal love for God and occupation with Christ, which, and therefore you have no impersonal love for all. Not just the ones that you spend time with. Impersonal love for all. And impersonal love for all never, ever, ever gets involved in judging, slandering, maligning other believers. You might as well put a big sign on the back. I am a loser believer living in the cosmic system because I judge my fellow believer. That's why virtue love is so unique, so rare. And in our country today, it's almost impossible to see, because there's so few believers living the spiritual life by the spiritual skills. So few believers that are growing up in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. So few believers that have virtue love brought to completion in their heart. So therefore, you cannot judge other believers by the manner of their death, just as you are mandated not to judge other believers in living. See, God just takes us out of the equation. We are totally eliminated as experts when it comes to understanding or even evaluating the death of anyone. Point 10. No matter how accidental a death may appear, no matter how accidental a death may appear, or no matter who was negligent or at fault, or no matter who was negligent or at fault, the death of a loved one was all in God's perfect timing and from His wisdom. No matter how accidental a death may appear, or no matter who was negligent or who was at fault, the death of a loved one was all in God's perfect timing and from His wisdom. You see, the manner of our physical death is determined by the wisdom of God. And this is another reason why, regarding loved ones who die, we do not mourn as those who have no hope. And therefore, we have no right to be bitter. We have no right to be vindictive. We have no right to be in any type of subjective arrogance. Subpoint 11. Therefore, no believer can judge the reasons nor the cause of the death of a fellow believer. Therefore, no believer can judge the reasons nor the cause of the death of a fellow believer. It's not subject to either our judging nor our speculation. Now, point 12, subpoint 12, there is no resurrection in the Old Testament. And when I say there's no resurrection, there are a lot of believers, they just haven't been resurrected yet. There's a lot of believers in the Old Testament, they will be resurrected. But when are they resurrected? You got that one down? First fruits is who? Jesus Christ. Who's next in the battalion review? We are, church age saints. Who's third? Old Testament saints and tribulational martyrs. Well, we're ahead of them. And that's coming up in a great passage we're going to look at with the Greek word tagma. That's the word you got to know, tagma. So, a lot of believe in the Old Testament, they will be resurrected, but at the second advent of Jesus Christ. That's when the Old Testament believers. So there was no resurrection in the Old Testament. There could not be a resurrection in the Old Testament. Why? Because the first resurrection in history was Jesus Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the first fruits. Every generation of believers in the Old Testament died a physical death. Now, Moses had a dramatic death climbing the mountain and the Lord taking him home from there. Elijah had a ride to heaven in a special conveyance, but there was no resurrection in the Old Testament. And who are the two witnesses that are coming back in the tribulation? Moses and Elijah. Oh, dadgummit. 13. Death is one of the greatest expressions of the grace of God. Death is one of the greatest expressions of the grace of God. The time of our physical death is a wise decision from the sovereignty of God. He doesn't keep us here beyond His point of wisdom, and He does not take us home before His point of wisdom. 14. God is perfect. Therefore, His wisdom is perfect. God is perfect. Therefore, His decisions are perfect. God decides the time and manner of the death of each one of us. And that is an expression of the grace of God. Turn over to Psalm 116. Psalm 116. Psalm 116, verse 15. You know, there are a lot of believers that like to take verses of the Bible and then they print them all out and they put them on the refrigerator, you know, and maybe some of you have some of those too. I was studying one today. I'm in, I'm in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I was studying a verse, and I found a verse that I know no one has ever, at least in the King James Version. In the King James Version, no one has ever printed this one out and put it on the refrigerator. I read it and read it and reread it and read it, and I had no idea what the King James translation was trying to say. It was absolutely pathetic, horrible. And in fact, I even had to stop and pray and say, Father, what in the hell is going on here in this verse? Because this doesn't make any sense. But I said, I got to remember when I get to it, how many of you have this King James verse on your refrigerator? Now, after I did the exegesis on it, it's a great verse. It's just that you would never know that from the King James. Well, this is Psalm 116, verse 15. Precious, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His saints. That's God's thinking of all believers. That's His thinking about the death of all believers. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His saints. Turn over to Romans 8. Romans 8. Romans 8, starting at verse 38. In fact, we can start at verse 37. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death, physical death, neither physical death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Death cannot separate us from God. And then turn over to Philippians 1. Philippians 1, 20 and 21, and here's one you can put on your refrigerator. And Philippians 1, 20 and 21, this is reality for the spiritually mature believer. This is reality for the winner believer. Philippians 1, 20. According to my intense concentration and confidence that I will in no way be ashamed. Does that mean that Paul never sinned? No, he sinned. Does that mean that Paul never entered reversionism? No, Paul entered reversionism. But he recovered. When he sinned, he rebounded. When he got in reversionism, he rebounded, followed by reversion recovery. So he says, according to my intense concentration and confidence that I will in no way be ashamed, where? At the judgment seat of Christ, but will have sufficient courage so that now, as always, Christ will be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death. There are two phases to our life. The living phase, the dying phase. And then, for to me, to live is going fishing. No. To live is going hunting. To live is going on a cruise. No. To live is Christ. That is absolute reality, but only for the winner believer. To live is Christ, and to die is profit. That brings us to point three. And point three, this is what, turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians 15. And then point three is the pattern for the first resurrection. There are two resurrections. First resurrection is the resurrection of all believers. There's a pattern for the resurrection of all believers. And then the second resurrection is the resurrection of all unbelievers. So there's two resurrections. First resurrection for all believers. Second resurrection, resurrection of all unbelievers. And the first resurrection has a specific pattern. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 20. But as a matter of fact, Christ has been raised from the dead in the past, with the result that he stands resurrected forever. The first fruits of the ones, believers, who have fallen asleep, believers falling asleep, this is physical death of Christians, believers. For since by the agency of man, Adam, came death, spiritual death, also by the agency of man, the Lord Jesus Christ in hypostatic union, comes the resurrection of the dead. All believers in human history who have died. Verse 22. For just as in Adam all die, so also in Christ all will be made alive. Verse 23. But each one in his own togma. That's the key. Togma. T-A-G-M-A. Each one in his own togma. All right. And then it says, Christ, the first fruits, that's Alpha Company. And then, after an elapse of time, the ones who belong to Christ, church age saints, at his coming, that's the rapture. That's Bravo Company. So, but the key word here is togma, so let's get some things on this. One, Arndt and Gingrich, The Greek Lexicon, page 810, tells us that togma is a military technical term. It is a military technical term for bodies of troops. So Arndt and Gingrich, The Greek Lexicon, page 810, tells us that togma is a military technical term for bodies of troops. Point two, togma pictures the first resurrection, which is the resurrection of all believers, as a battalion pass in review. A battalion pass in review. Three. So the first resurrection is pictured as a battalion pass in review and is divided into four echelons. Alpha Company, Bravo Company, Charlie Company, Delta Company. So the first resurrection of all believers, is pictured as a battalion pass in review and is divided into four echelons. All right, first Alpha Company. Alpha Company, who's that? The resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ is the first fruits. That's 1 Corinthians 15, verse 20, in this passage. But as a matter of fact, Christ has been raised from the dead in the past with the result that he stands resurrected forever. The first fruits of the ones who have fallen asleep, believers who have died. And in Acts chapter 2, so turn over to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. All right, Acts 2, let's start at verse 29. Brothers, fellow members of the royal family of God, I can tell you confidently that the patriarch David died and was buried, and his tomb is here to this day. But he was a prophet, and he knew that God had promised him on oath that he would place one of his descendants on his throne. Seeing what was ahead, he spoke of the resurrection of the Christ. The descendant to be placed on the throne is the Lord Jesus Christ in his true humanity, the Son of David. Seeing what was ahead, he spoke of the resurrection of the Christ, that he was not abandoned to Hades, nor did his body see decay. God has raised this Jesus to life, and we are all witnesses of the fact. Exalted to the right hand of God, he has received from the Father the promised Holy Spirit and has poured out what you now see and hear. For David did not ascend to heaven, and yet he said, the Lord, God the Father, said to my Lord, Jesus Christ, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies the footstool for your feet. And therefore, let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. Jesus Christ is Alpha Company. Resurrection, he is the first fruits. Now, 2, Bravo Company. Bravo Company is the resurrection of the royal family of God at the end of the church age, the rapture. And that's verse 23. But each one in his own togma, in his own battalion, pass in review. Christ, the first fruits, Alpha Company. Then, after an elapse of time, the ones who belong to Christ, church-age saints, Bravo Company, at his coming, and that's the rapture. So Bravo Company, the resurrection of the royal family of God at the end of the church age. First is Alpha Company, Jesus Christ, first fruit. Second is Bravo Company, resurrection of the royal family of God at the end of the church age. And there are many passages that cover this. Turn over to John 14. John 14. Jesus Christ is holding Bible class, John 14, 1-3. And Jesus says, do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God, trust also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. And I am going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back, rapture, and take you to be with me that you also may be where I am. Turn over to Philippians 3. Philippians 3, verse 20. But our citizenship is in the United States. Now just in if you're paying attention. But our citizenship is in heaven. And we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control will transform, see, the greatest transformer, will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like his glorious body. And then there are two central passages that are the central passages on the resurrection of the royal family of God at the rapture. 1 Corinthians 15, 51 to 57 is one of those. Turn over to 1 Corinthians 15. Of course, we studied this, but when we studied 1 Corinthians 15, you were about 10 years younger. First Corinthians 15, verse 51. And Paul says, listen, I tell you a mystery. Musterion, M-U-S-T, long E-R-I-O-N, Musterion. It's transliterated mystery. It means that the rapture, nobody knew about the rapture in Old Testament time. This is church age doctrine. This is church age truth. And this has been presented, well, primarily, also by John, but also by the Apostle Paul. Listen, I tell you a mystery. The rapture, is the resurrection of the church age saints, royal family of God, is mystery doctrine. We will not all sleep. That is, church age saints who die. Not all of us will sleep. But we will all be changed. That is the rapture generation who will be living at the time of the rapture. There will be one rapture generation that won't go through. They won't sleep. They won't go through physical death. They will be living when the resurrection, the rapture, takes place. In a flash. In the twinkling of an eye, the splitting of an atom, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised imperishable, they are raised first, and we. And you see, Paul thought that the rapture could occur when he was alive. It's imminent. They're signless and timeless. And we will be changed. For the perishable must clothe itself with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality. And when the perishable has been clothed with the imperishable, that's the dead in Christ, who they are resurrected first. And the mortal with immortality, that's the rapture generation. Then the saying that is written will come true, death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. One of the great central passages on the doctrine of resurrection. And the other one, it's 1 Thessalonians 4:13-18. We've seen that a few times. We're going to be seeing that again in probably not tonight, but we'll be seeing it again, so I'm going to save that one. And then turn over to 1 John 3. First John 3. First John 3, starting at verse 1. How great is the love that the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Beloved, now we are the children of God. And what we will be has not yet been made known, but we know that when he appears, the rapture, the resurrection of the royal family of God, we shall be like him. We'll have a resurrection body like his resurrection body. For we shall see him as he is. And everyone who has this hope, this confidence in him, purifies himself just as he is pure. Well, that's Bravo Company. So the first resurrection is the battalion pass in review, made up of four echelons. Alpha Company, Jesus Christ is the first fruits. Bravo Company, the resurrection of the royal family of God at the end of the church age, the rapture. And then Charlie Company. Charlie Company, the resurrection of Old Testament believers and tribulational martyrs at the end of the tribulation and the second advent of Jesus Christ. Charlie Company, the resurrection of Old Testament believers and tribulational martyrs at the end of the tribulation and second advent of Jesus Christ. Turn over to Daniel 12. Daniel chapter 12. Daniel 12, verse 2. Multitudes. These are Old Testament people living in the Old Testament. We have included here both the first and second resurrection of those living in the Old Testament. Multitudes who sleep in the dust of the earth will awake. Some to everlasting life. That's the first resurrection, the resurrection of Old Testament saints. Others to shame and everlasting contempt. That's the second resurrection, the resurrection of all unbelievers from the Old Testament. And then turn over to Isaiah 26. Isaiah 26. Isaiah 26, verse 19. But your dead will live. Resurrection of Old Testament saints. Their bodies will rise. You will dwell in the dust, wake up, and shout for joy. Your dew is like the dew of the morning. The earth will give birth to her dead. Turn over to Job. Job 19. Job 19. Job 19, 25 to 27. Job 19, 25 to 27. Verse 25, I know that my Redeemer lives, and that in the end he will stand upon the earth. Second advent. And after my skin has been destroyed, yet in my flesh, resurrection body, I will see God. I myself will see him with my own eyes, I and not another. How my heart yearns within me. And these are all looking at Old Testament saints at the resurrection. But turn over to Revelation 20, verse 4. We have, and also the tribulational martyrs. Revelation 20, verse 4, the tribulational martyrs and their resurrection. And this is Revelation 20, verse 4, the second half. The resurrection of the tribulational martyrs. Now, the resurrection of Old Testament believers and the tribulational martyrs both occur at the second advent. And I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded because of their testimony for Jesus and because of the word of God. And they had not worshipped the beast or his image, and they had not received his mark on their foreheads or their hand. They came to life. That's the first resurrection. They came to life and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. This is Charlie Company, the resurrection of tribulational martyrs along with Old Testament believers at the second advent, at the end of the tribulation and at the second advent. That's Charlie Company. And then Delta Company is the resurrection of millennial saints at the end of the millennium. And those, they don't die. Here is another group besides the rapture generation that will not go through physical death. At the end of the millennial kingdom, they will have their resurrection, Delta Company. So, the key word here is tagma. It pictures the resurrection as the battalion passed in review. So the first resurrection is pictured as a battalion passed in review divided into four echelons. Alpha Company, resurrection of Jesus Christ, first fruits. Bravo Company, resurrection of the royal family of God at the end of the church age. Charlie Company, resurrection of Old Testament believers and tribulational martyrs at the end of the tribulation and second advent. And Delta Company, resurrection of millennial saints at the end of the millennium. But each one in his own tagma, battalion pass and review. All right, the pattern of the first resurrection. That's point three. Father, we thank you, sir, for your grace. May God the Holy Spirit challenge us that these principles become a source of blessing and happiness in our lives. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.